Father, we're grateful for today. Even as we study, what's true believers today? We find, we're thankful for light. Today we find more light, more insight, clarity. At all. Rather, what we have is clarity, precision, accuracy. As we see Him, your Son, even as He sees us, everything you have for us, we see what you will show, we hear what you say, and we are edified better than we came in. You are glorified. Amen. All right, 2 Timothy 3:15. In the next few weeks, we'll be studying the New Testament ministry, which is quite important. 2 Timothy 3:15. All right, so the New Testament ministry. Say the New Testament ministry. All right, so the New Testament ministry. Basically, what we'll be doing now will be we'll be having a description. Practice of the teaching will be a description. We'll describe the New Testament ministry, what holds true today as ministry in the New Testament. Then we'll now go into the practice of the New Testament, probably later in the teaching. New Testament ministry will be descriptive because every local church, we must be able to define terms. You can't just say New Testament. Let us say New Testament. All right, let's just go to 3:15. And from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Say salvation. All right, so it says from a child, talking to Timothy. That's Paul talking to Timothy. I say from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. The word known actually means to appreciate. That is, you have placed value on the Holy Scriptures. And the value you placed on it is able to make you smart. That's the word wise. 2 Timothy 3:15. He's able to make you smart. Say smart. Alright, so he says when you place value on the scriptures, it makes you smart. It makes you wise, skillful. Sophizo in the Greek. S-O-P-H-I-E-O. That is, because you place value on the word, on the written word, you now are smart to see something. Make you able, wise on the word, salvation. Say salvation. Is that what's in the Bible? Salvation, true faith. Which is it? So when we place value on the word, what when we appreciate the word, the result, the fruit of it is what? We will now see clearly what it talks about. We now see clearly what the word of God talks about. How do we place value on it? Verse 16. Now it's all scripture is given. So the way we place value on it is that we will use it for what it is for. I'll come again. The way we place value, that is known in verse 15, the way we place value on the scriptures, is that we will use the scriptures for what it is meant for. What is it meant for? Verse 16. It's given for doctrine. The word doctrine is actually the word explanation. So you don't have the Bible so that you can quote from it. The devil also quoted from it. You know, the devil said, if you are the son of God, let these stones turn to bread. I trust some of you. You know when it turns into bread? It turns into shawarma. Hey, I will show you an answer of God. Maybe it's to show you. And it's because you're actually hungry. And that's the devil talking. Like a video that I saw online. He said, if you will bow to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. I think Luke 4:7. And someone just put that up. If you will bow to me, I'll give you the kingdom. And people say, I will bow to you, Lord. I will bow to you, Lord. And that was the devil talking to Jesus. A temptation. Because people will not even bother to check the Bible. If you bow to me, I'll give you the kingdom of the earth. And people say, Amen. I bow to you. I worship you. You are the one I have. Because they didn't bother to even check. So it's for quotation. There are times where you need to quote the Bible. You need to know it by heart. Or if you find yourself through a persecution and you cannot even hold your Bible to preach, you need to know what to say. Hallelujah. Praise God. But quoting the Bible is not the main element of learning scriptures. You have to explain it. One of my friends in Osun State, she would send WhatsApp broadcast every morning. And let's just go back. That every morning she would just send a verse, basically, just maybe Proverbs 1:13, Proverbs 3:5, Ecclesiastes. She just send a verse. I was in the first. And after a few days, I called her and said, I had to call her on the phone. That's dangerous. I'm very sure all the people you sent it to, they got different revelation. As someone is getting, don't say, deep. Satalaba. Peperon. I get it. This is what it means. But God so loved the world. Love is important. And then he say, let me toast.
God loved the world.
That's his own revelation. And I will say, for God so loved the world, I will start loving my business. You see, different revelation. If it was explained, we have issues. Praise God. So, explanation of God, all supreme. Say it's all supreme. Whatever follows that, the reproof, the correction, the trait, the righteousness, is actually a reason of the explanation. Often, Paul is a list like that. The first one explains the others. Just like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love now explains the kindness, self-control, yes, the joy, peace. And so the scripture is given for explanation, right? So when I handle the Bible, the first thing that should come to my mind is what? Explanation. I need to explain this. I can't just afford to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want. I must explain what he's saying. I must explain what he's saying. Alright, so if I must explain what he's saying, then I have to have details. I have to have information. So information is supreme in the New Testament ministry. I must have details. I can't be ignorant and say I want to explain. Praise God. An ignorant man explain. He confuses. He confuses you. Then he explains. So if I say all scripture is given for explanation, 2 Timothy 3:16, then I must have details. Details on what to say. So let's move ahead. Can we say spiritual growth thrives on knowledge? So we can say spiritual growth will thrive on knowledge. What I know. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. The word gifts is in Italy. The word gifts, we can use it. We can decide not to. Depends on what we're about. But it's actually now concerning spiritual. Perirematicos actually in the Greek. I will not have you ignorant. Concerning spiritual or concerning spiritual gifts. I will not have you ignorant. So the word ignorant is the word hagnoeo. A-G-N-O-E-O. A-G-N-O-E-O. Agnoio, of course. Gnoio already implies knowledge, right? Knowledge. Gnoio. Let me teach you something small. In Greek, if you put A before any word, that A will negate that word. For example, if I say tall, let us say tall. I say at all. At all will mean not tall. That makes sense? A is alpha. Alpha is negative in the Greek. So if I say alpha gnoio, is no knowledge. That makes sense. Gnoio is knowledge. Gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. That is knowledge. And I say agnoio, ignorant. That is a negative tense of knowledge. Let me calm down. I don't want to sound too scholastic. I will not have ignorant. It means there is no knowledge. Does that make sense now? I will not leave you in the dark. I will not leave you confused. I will not leave you blank. Does that make sense now? So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 together. Want to go? Everybody? Want to go? Well, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. So there must be some things in the scriptures that we are not ignorant about. You know, Paul did not say this concerning marriage, that concerning marriage, concerning how to run your master's degree, I will not have you ignorant. No, that's what he said. Say concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. At least there are things you cannot afford not to understand. There are some concepts, some basic subject matters that you must understand. In fact, for you not to understand. I asked someone, he seems to pastor, and I asked him concerning the gifts of faith. I said, it's somewhere in the Bible. I said, of course, is it the Quran before the gift of faith? Or in Bill Gates, before Forbes magazine? That's why you don't see the gift of faith. I said, it's in the Bible. Where is it? Hey, somewhere in Romans. Romans. Somewhere in Romans. Somewhere in Romans. Give me. Hey, it's Revelation chapter 23. You must know some things. There are some subject matters you must know. When you ask that kind of fellow and you say, explain the anointing oil. You will see exegesis. Exegesis. You now end up with an exegesis again. You will sandwich exegesis. Anointing oil. I worship you. That's what. He's ignorant of what he's meant to know, and he knows what he's meant to be, as it were. Praise God. There are some matters that we must never be ignorant about. We must not be caught as a surprise. As a surprise, rather. Praise God. The one he used 22 times. We just look at some. Look at the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 3. Romans 10 3. Again, we're studying the New Testament ministry. Romans 10 3. You there? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness which is of God. Say they are ignorant of God's righteousness. Ignorant. That's what I can feel. Because of their ignorance, they didn't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. Why did he say they were ignorant? Look at verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So, knowledge is what qualifies for ignorance. And, you know, let me just say this, that ignorance will be active. That is, there will be something that the person will do to make me know that he's ignorant. I can't just see you and I say you're ignorant. It's not written on the knowledge on the forehead. And I can't just see someone and say, zero. Possible, right? You must have said something. You must have said something. Like the story of the brother I told you. I was ministering in the Holy Ghost meeting. I was doing like this. Now, I have told you that you're even tapping me. That's not an issue. But you are tapping me. Literally, you are beating me. You know? Some believers are agidi. Energies in everything. I wanted to talk. The brother went together. I wanted to. My own is to receive a taking paper. I say, I know what I want to tell you that thing. I said, no, not my own death. Get in ministry. Get in ministry. Get in ministry. And when it happens, Ross, come back from the spirit. Back from the spirit. First, come back. I took him to the corner. Then, our own Holy Ghost meeting was a teaching meeting. Because that's the right thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. You teach such. Don't let it get past. Get past, you're not give another bed. That word. And that one will run with fear through our ministry. So I taught him. If he had done that, I would not have known that he's ignorant. He was wearing suit. You'd have thought, this guy, man of God, fire. What was I wearing? My shirt and my jeans and my sneakers. You have said this one. Kana. Nothing. Togo. Void. Empty. Nothing yet, it's just aqua. Praise God. Ignorance happens into display. It's not known by sight. There will be an action. Say they have a zeal. Verse 2. Romans 7 2. They had zeal. That means there was something. Zeal is active. There's something they were doing. They were doing, they were praying God. They were doing God not according to knowledge. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. So they were ignorant. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 38. 1 Corinthians 14, 38. Are you learning something? But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So, abnorio will be what? Self-inflicting. That is, abnorio. It's self-inflicting. Have you ever met folks that you want to teach them something about the word of God and the revolt? Come on. MCNCV, if you have. You want to teach something. Maybe you are this person. You are going the way of zero. The pathway of zero is wide. Let's say, let me just put you through it. Have you read this book? I've read it 2 times. About ignorance. It's self-inflicting. It means to rebuff knowledge, to ignore knowledge. You are presented with knowledge and you ignore it. Said no knowledge. That's ignorance. Ignorance is not I don't know. Ignorance is I don't know and I don't want to know. I don't know and I don't care to know. I don't know and if you tell me, I don't want to know still. That's ignorant. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a rejection of knowledge. And you know, nothing else solves ignorance. Nothing else. Not prayer. Prayer cannot solve ignorance. Prayer cannot solve it. If you like, pray from this mountain. If you don't like, go from this mountain and go to any other mountain. You jump there and you're praying about. That's called ignorance. Ignorance only cure is knowledge. The only cure to ignorance is knowledge. Information. Let's look at the word ignorance again. 2 Corinthians, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. That is, we see that it's coming. We have chosen not to reject it. What was he talking about? He was talking about love. That's the device of the enemy that he was talking about in 2 Corinthians 11. We saw it. Right? Alright, so, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Ignorance. So there are some things that Paul says we must not be ignorant about. That's what we're looking at. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, talking about what we call rapture. Hallelujah. Or call rapture. What is ignorant? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Now, so agoreo means what? Ignore knowledge. Eh? Are we on the same page? Does it mean to ignore knowledge? Hey, come on, talk to me. Does it mean to ignore knowledge? Yeah. So there are things we must know about. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. So I'm laying the foundation so that by the time we just launch into the teaching, it will be a smooth ride. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Do ye not know that saints shall judge the world? And the world shall be judged by you, or you wanted to judge the smallest man. Do you not know? That know is actually the word Eido, E-I-D-O. That is to recall something, to recall. That means it's something that you have been taught. Don't you remember? So it's not gnosis as for first knowing, but to recall something that has been taught to you before. Shall I come again? No, that is it's not gnoio or gnosis. It's actually E-I. That is to recall something. So he's saying, don't you recall? So whatever he's telling them that don't they recall, it must be something that he has taught before. That is Paul had taught them that the saints will judge the world. So he's not saying, don't you recall? You see the same thing in verse 3. Know ye not. Know ye not. That will be A-E-D-O. That is a negative, an alpha, of the A-E-D-O. That is, can't you remember? Know ye not that we shall judge angels. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 15. Know you know that your bodies are members, are the members of Christ. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that that which is joined to the Lord is one body. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. It means you have already accepted the truth. Now, to recall. Paul says there are some things that we got to recall. Things that we don't have to recall in the local church. Praise God. Hallelujah. You learn something. Why did they forget what he was telling them? In 1 Corinthians, he says, I cannot talk unto you as unto spirituals, as unto spiritual, rather, but as unto carnal. No, because in chapter 2, you already told them you were born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah? No believer is carnal. Okay? As unto, as a simile, as a figure of speech already. So, I cannot talk unto you. So, you need milk and not meat. I want to feed you. Praise God. I know many believers are like that today. They can't stand sound teaching. Teachings like this, you're already yearning. In your heart, you're saying, when will this struggle be over? When will the service end? You're already looking at time. Because you cannot feed or mate. Milk is what you like. In fact, in your bigger office, some people even live on something less than milk. Yeah, it's very, it's very critical. Yeah, some people even live, there's some folks live also. Not babes. Now look at the church in Corinth. If Paul would be saying the church in Corinth is babe, see what he wrote to them. This church was not lacking in any gifts. 1 Corinthians 1:7. This church had all the gifts of the Spirit manifestation. This church, some of them were even eating meat that was belonging to idols. They knew that everything is a place. If some churches today, Paul just say, what do I call you now? You can't be babe. Babes will be angry. What do we call you now? Sell in Christ. Because look at what he talks there. I call them babes. No, babes cannot stand. If you don't have a story, that pastor is just giving us letter. Just giving us the letter. Give us real life stories. I like that pastor. He always tells us real life stories. So we just come to church. You know, all does God put a chair here? Give us music. So that music will be going on. Story. I want to talk about the power of God. In 2004, who do you start telling stories like that? Children, right? In the natural, right? Children. He will start saying, okay, ignorance, agree. You just mentioned David and Goliath. And then, yes. And so, J-E-S-U-S. He put everything with Jesus in his bag. And just, he took J, just J. Just J kid Goliath. Just J. Brethren. They'll be charged. They're led to them. When we're tepid, believers, babes, ignore you. Ignorance. Is it? Because if you bring a story, as we are just going that day, We didn't know there was a snake. My brethren, we knew there was snake. And the snake, and the snake be like this, and like, and we dodged. You came from your house on a Sunday morning to come and hear the snake. Oh, then what have you said? So all your week, you will run on the story of the snake. You are not even a saint. So we must not be ignorant. And the only cure to ignorance is what? Come on. Knowledge. Knowledge. Not prayer. Fasting. It's prayer. It's knowledge. Concerning the New Testament ministry, we must not be ignorant. Alright? So, the New Testament ministry, we must not be ignorant. We must not be ignorant. Because for some folks, the only thing they know about the New Testament is a set of books. Like, what's the New Testament? They say, after 7 books. You see? They are already displaying the ignorance. It's 27 books. No? The New Testament is more than books. We must understand that. It's a reality of the work of the Spirit. Say a reality of the Spirit. It's a reality of the work of the Spirit. A product of redemption. So, you know, ignorance can be very amusing. That is, you just, have you ever heard someone defend feet washing before? You said one day, someone defended communion before bread. Someone defended it before. My God. I met a guy, I could not talk again. I mean, this guy had to sit down and say, he had multitude of words to say. If you meet him, you will calm down. That guy, I said, you will calm down first. So you can't tell me that. You can't tell me that. Even Jesus said, who didn't remember to me as I want to explain that? Then, no, don't tell me that. The Greek word for I said, go to more Greek. Ignorance can be very, very, very magical. Very, very, very amusing. So I want this ignorance. Did you know ignorance of senior? Praise God. Bread and wine. And you are defending like that. Wow. And if you try to explain, they will talk fake, heretic. Which one have I not heard? I read fake. I read proud. Because ignorance is a rejection of knowledge. How do you reject it? Praise God. Alright. So let's move ahead. Let's take to the New Testament ministry. The explanation. 2 Corinthians 3. We'll lay another foundation next week. But so that we can have something today to look at. 2 Corinthians 3. Let's see the background. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3, 6. Are we ready? One to go. Not of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Say the Spirit gives life. We'll look at that much more next week. What's the background of this? In verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found no Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now thanks be to God, which causes us to always triumph and make manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savour in Christ, of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perished. To the one we have a savour of death unto death, and to the one the savour of life unto life. And we sufficient in all these things. For we, not as many, that is, we are not like many, which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. Do we again commend ourselves, or need we as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles, written in our hearts, read of all men. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the flesh tables of the earth, and such trust we through Christ, to God what? Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. So he calls himself a minister of the New Testament. Paul, he calls himself and other folks that are with him, Titus and others, they call themselves ministers of the New Testament. Ministers. What ministers? The word diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. Alright? Diakonos, D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. Used 31 times, which is in Greek. It's used for service. Say service. Say service. Actually, for those who run around, who run errands. So you say someone is a minister. A servant. A minister is a servant. In the heart of many people. What it means to be a pastor is to be a boss. It's the opposite. It's actually the opposite. The pastor is the servant. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 20:28? I have come to serve you. The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. He has not come to be served. And that's the Jesus that I said. My own Jesus is celebrating you. He said, person said he has come to be served. He has come to serve, rather. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, diakonos, servant. Servant, those who run errands. In fact, he used it. Let's quickly run through. Romans 13:4. Let's be also run through the word ministers. Be fast. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. He is the minister of God to you. Romans 15:8. Now I say Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. For the children of God was a minister. Romans 16:1. I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant. That word servant is actually the word minister. Sister Phoebe. Romans 16:1. The servant. Romans 16:27. No. Romans 16:21. Timothy, my work fellow, my fellow servant. 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But servants by whom you believe, ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Servants. Pastor is a servant. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the one we are looking at. By ministers of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 6:4. 2 Corinthians 6:4. But all things are proving ourselves as ministers of God, servants of God, in much patience, affliction, necessity, and distress. 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore, it is no great thing if the ministers be also transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Ministers of righteousness. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors and abundance in stripes, above measures in prisons, more frequent in death of Paul. Galatians 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ a minister or a servant of sin? Say, God forbid. Alright, Ephesians 3:7. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. So ministry is by grace. Ephesians 6:21. Is that something? But that you also may know my affairs. How do I that Tychius, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. The word servant there is actually the word minister. Then at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. That word deacon is also the word minister. Diakonos, deacon. Someone who runs errand. Colossians 1:7. As you also have learned of Abraham as our fellow servant and a faithful minister of Christ. Faithful minister of Christ. Colossians 1:23. And if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye hear, which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven. Whereof Paul, I am also made a minister, a servant, and is someone who dispenses it about. Colossians 1:25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given unto me to fulfill the word of God. Colossians 4:7. All my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Now look at the word minister, the way it was used. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And sent Timothy, our brother, minister of God. 1 Timothy 3:8. Likewise, must deacons, the word deacons actually is the word minister. They must be grave, not double tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy luck. Alright? 3:12. Let the deacons be husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own husband's will. So it says pastors cannot have two wives. Ministers of God cannot have two wives. Alright, so husband of one wife, a minister. Alright. Then lastly, 1 Timothy 4:6. If that put the brethren in remembrance of this thing, that shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, a good servant. So a minister is used for a servant. Say servant. Say servant. In fact, Jesus was a minister. He called himself a servant too. Matthew 20:26-28. And he also called greatness in the kingdom of God, service. That is, if you want to know who is great in the kingdom of God, it's those who serve. Not those who know the word. Those who serve. Those who are using their life for the gospel. Cause them the great ones in the kingdom. Those that are only called, you will know that they will be the word. Servants. Hallelujah. So let's run a bit. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3:6. 2 Corinthians 3:6, we're back. So, who are also made us able ministers, able servants, able dispensers, able people who run errands for the New Testament ministry. That's basically what he's saying. Diaconos. Able ministers of the New Testament. The word is the word kainos, K-N-O-S, K-I-N-O-S. It means fresh. I'll come again. The word new means fresh. That is something that never existed before. It's not that when you say New Testament, there was one Old Testament that was now repackaged, refurnished, polished, and then now presented. Whatever part of the New Testament is new. Say new. Say new. That is never existed before. I've heard folks say that the Old Testament, advancement of the Old Testament, that it was built upon, it was you know, engineered, it was carpenterized. We will not have the new. No, it never existed. Just like new creation. If anybody in Christ is a creation that never existed before, it doesn't have a past. So you don't say, this I used to do. You don't have a past. A creation that never existed before. So by saying old covenant, I said it's the word obsolete covenant. It's not that there's a new. It's not just talking about something obsolete and something fresh. Is there something? Yeah. Alright. So it says, able ministers of the New Testament. New Testament. The word testament is the word that I take it. D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. Is the word that I take it. D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. A contract. That word testament is a contract. Let me read it like this. In short, it's a covenant. You can call the New Testament the New Covenant. At the time I used to teach that, the New Covenant and the New Testament are different. Basically, I have my reasons for saying that. But it's not really old truth. It's old water. The New Covenant is the same Greek word. That's okay. Covenant, Testament. So those the New Testament, sometimes it just means matrimony. Hallelujah. Learn something. Alright. A fresh covenant. Say a fresh covenant. So it says, a new light given to you. A fresh covenant. A fresh covenant. So the covenant will make sense shortly. We will start describing the testament now. A new testament, every minister of the New Testament, a fresh covenant, a fresh testament. Then he describes it, says, not of the letter. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He doesn't start, he goes to scripture. That says, not of the letter. Say, not of the letter. Which letter? Love letter? Not of the letter. So we need to investigate the letter. The one letter is grammar. G-R-A-M-M-A. That is a writing. So, a writing. Just a writing. But by using the word the, he has made it definitive. That is, there's something definite that he's talking about. Normally, letter just mean a writing. None of the letter, a writing. Just any writing. But he now uses the letter. So, we need to investigate whatever he's calling the letter. That makes sense? So, he says, the New Testament is not of the letter. It says not of the letter. So, the New Testament, if we don't even know what it is, we know what it is not. It is not of the letter. It's not of the letter. And it says, let the kill it. So, it says, the writing. The writing kill it. That means the writing will bring death. Whatever he's talking about the letter, is a writing that brings death. And it says, that writing that brings death is not the New Testament. It's not the New Testament. So, let's now see how we experience it. It's that specific writing. Verse 7. 7 together, everybody. 3, 7. 7, let's that one. Written where? What is written in? What is written on stones? The ministry of what? Death. Would that be the letter that kills? In writing. Written. On stones. He has described the letter to us. So, Paul tells us what the New Testament is not about. Paul tells us what is not inclusive and does not hold true in the New Testament ministry. He says, the letter. The ministry of death is not the New Testament. The ministry of death is not the New Testament. So, fall down and die is not the New Testament. Praise God. It says, none of the letter. And this letter was written in stones. So, we need to investigate that letter and remove every trace of it that New Testament will offer to us. That is, we will look at that letter engraving in stones, the ministry of death, and then we will remove it from our memory completely about the New Testament ministry. What we want to do is that we want to evict facts. Praise God. So, if you say New Testament ministry, New Testament ministry, New Testament ministry, one of the things that must never come to your mind about it is what? Death. It must never cross your mind. Death is not the fruit of the New Testament ministry. Praise God. So, it says, not of the letter. So let's see a narrative of the letter. A narrative of the letter. Exodus 34. You see the account in Exodus 34 and Deuteronomy 10. You check both. Exodus 34. Put one hand or put your marker in 2 Corinthians 3:6. We are coming back. Exodus 34. Sometimes you just need to learn the Bible and not some mystical tales. Don't just come to you say, yeah, write it down. Name of preacher. Pastor Agbabiaka. Date. Topic. New Testament ministry. In 2 Corinthians 3:6. There you go. And you're happy with yourself. Your children should slap you when they grow up. Say, daddy. This is what you wrote. An entire Sunday of 2 hours, 30 minutes. This is what you wrote. Daddy. Exodus 34. We'll read the entire chapter. So, bear with me. If you want to sleep, sleep. And the Lord said unto Moses, heal thee two tables of stones like unto the first. Because it's an interesting story. And I write upon this table of words. There were first tables of which thou breakest. That is, he had given him a table before, which was a testament. And Moses, because of the anger, I did it. Because of the anger, because some people worshiping a golden calf. What's wrong? Enjoy. And so he broke it in anger. And so he had to go back to go and write his own. Of course, you know it's his own. Yeah, then he knows his own. He wrote the first one, the Ten Commandments, which is not the law. The Ten Commandments is not the law. I'm repeating again. The Ten Commandments of the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments is actually an inspired word by the Spirit. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit, basically. In other words, it's actually the fruit of the Spirit in other times. So when you're talking about, you want to kill your own neighbor, you want to convert your neighbor's property. Obviously, that's lack of self-control. Alright, so when you talk about the Ten Commandments, it's different from the law of Moses. So by the time he went back to get the other ones, he now marshmallow. With the Ten Commandments, what? Because of what he did. So he can't just come back with that thing. I was fasting 40 days upon one mountain, seeing different sights and sounds. You see that you guys used to welcome me. He's idol worship. I will show you. He went back and he brought the thing with 640 extra. Hallelujah. Moses is one of the craziest guys you can meet. So, verse 2. And ready in the morning and come up to Sinai and present thyself unto me in the top of the mountain. No man shall come with thee. Then I let any man throw up the month. Then I let the fox or the head feed before the month. And you shall hold tables of stones as of the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Sinai. And the Lord commanded him and took in his hand two tables of stones. Can you see two? He came back with one the other time. This man, he knows what he wants to do. He took two. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright, so Moses came back with the covenant. In verse 22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, the first fruit of the wheat of harvest, the feast of the ingathering of the year's end. Hallelujah. So, with the feast of ingathering, feast of weeks, and all those, not New Testament, they are not New Testament, right? Thank you. Thrice in a year, verse 23, thrice in a year, all your men and your children shall appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. But we cast out nations before thee, and the land their brothers, and then, okay. Verse 26, the first fruit of thy land shall thou bring, tithe, and the house of the Lord, and thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write down these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote upon the tables of the words of covenant the Ten Commandments. Not just that. Basically, what's meant to be written is, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. Does that make sense? Two different things. Not an explanation. He wrote the words of the covenant and the Ten Commandments. Does that make sense to you? You see the same narrative in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Let's quickly look at that. So we are looking at what the New Testament is not. Because if I say New Testament, I must know what New Testament is. We have said that it's not books. New Testament is not in books. It's in what? Okay, we don't know yet. But it's not a book. Or it's not a set of books. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And after the Lord God said unto me, you did two tables of stones as only first, and come up to me in the mud, and make thee an ark of wood, and I'll about the tables of the words which were the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I have made a ark of shooting wood, and yield two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up to the mountain, having two tables in my hand, and he wrote on the tables according to the first writing of the Ten Commandments, which was spoken to you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly the Lord gave unto me. Verse 5. And I told myself, I came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark which I have made, and there they be as the Lord commanded me. So he wrote some things on stones. Oh, he said the letter kill it. The letter is not the entire Bible. Because most people are saying, the letter kill it. All these things you are saying is the letter. The power. Show us the power of God. Like we said in our teaching, what are the spirit? Imagine you want to see the power. And as I just entered this auditorium, us is the usher, us. You know us. H-O-R-S-E. Eshe. You're welcome. At this point, I want to see. You're welcome to church. I see there. You just take pass in front of you. Hey, power. And I say, maybe I should jack power. You don't just shut. No. Push. Then you the end. I think, the end. That is what I say. Need to praise him. Yeah, you praise him. Nobody forces him. We just say, I worship you. Just let me survive this. And I'm done. I say, Masata Yakolono. Fire. Setele, Vesele. Fire. And I'm just saying, let me give you a situation. And I cause all the out of the fire. For illustration. Is that the power you want to see? Oh, let's stop now. That's the power you want to see. But he said, no, let's kill it. He's talking about what was written on stone, the covenant Moses gave them. The law of Moses. That's the letter. Not the Bible. Not what is written in the Bible. Are you saying what Jesus also said is the letter? Don't tell that I have to give you life and give you Imam. That was his letter. Because when I gave Holy Ghost, that was his letter that kills. Yeah? Use your sense now. Stop giving us all this word. Show us power. Paul said, I come with demonstration of spirit and of power. And he says, you explain. It will be called fake. Hallelujah. The letter is on stone. The spirit. Hallelujah. So, we now see a manifestation of what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 10, the covenant. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he now started giving them the details of the covenant. Burnt offerings. Burnt offerings in the place that will be chosen by God. In Deuteronomy chapter 12. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, he now says, they will destroy men. It's part of the covenant. There are some men that you destroy. Enemies of God, he called them. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, he had to tell them about clean and unclean meat. And that's the narrative that Peter still had in Acts 10. He told them about clean and unclean meat. God was going all through the New Testament at all. Clean and unclean meat, no. Clean and unclean. He was a pork. Pork. Yes, it's an unclean meat. Why? Because feed is dirty. They cook it, receive with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Clean and unclean meat. Product of the letter. He then gives them tithing. Deuteronomy 14. So you have to bring tithe. Say, would it be a New Testament ministry? No. Tithing, that's not at all. It's not a New Testament ministry practice. It's giving a New Testament ministry practice a million times, yes. But tithing, no. Because you will see why tithing. Hallelujah. In Deuteronomy 16, he now gives them Passover. Passover. The feast of the Passover, where they now eat the bread and the wine. Also be a New Testament practice? No. Remember, not of the letter. But think that the product of the letter. Deuteronomy 16, the Passover. And the feast of weeks. The feast of tabernacles. Have you seen people have feast of weeks before? This is the week of triumphant entry into Jerusalem or something. Let's start. Learn something. Alright. What Paul is saying is that the law of Moses is not the New Testament. The law of Moses is not the New Testament. So, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3:6. So, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. He now explains further. He says, for if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, so the letter will be what? The ministration of death, right? Written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. For the glory of the countenance, which glory was done away, was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory. So what are the words that are used for the letter? Come on. Ministration of death. What else? Engraven in stones. What else? Ministration of condemnation, right? Abi? So it means in the letter you will find condemnation. Say condemnation. It's condemned. Stay with your head. Let me know. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that it deals. For even that which was done away was glorious. Much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have received such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, as the children of Israel could not severally behold the head of that which was to be abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil, on taking away the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is gone away in Christ. But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon your heart. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall come to the law, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory of condemnation to the glory of righteousness, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read verse chapter 4. Therefore, seeing that is because of this, seeing that we have this ministry, what ministry? The New Testament ministry? Seeing that we have the New Testament ministry, as we have received mercy, we faith not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Commending ourselves to every man the conscience by in the sight of God. Verse 3, let's read verse 3 to 4, everybody. It's he to them that are lost. It will be God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Let the light of the glorious gospel, which the image of God, should shine unto them. Hallelujah. So, the ministration of death, letter, can we say, is not the gospel? Because look at what Paul said in chapter 4. That says, because of this, we have received ministry to preach the gospel. In verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, that says, we preach ourselves, but Christ. So, can we say that the letter, the ministry of death, will not be the gospel? Let's look at it again. We're learning. Is that letter, the ministry of death, is it the gospel? The one that condemns, is it gospel? No, it's not. So, we know what it is not. So, can we say the New Testament ministry will be the gospel? Okay. Let's leave that. Don't worry. We'll come there. So, the New Testament ministry is not in the preaching of the law of Moses. No church should exalt the law of Moses. Feet washing, forbidding men to marry, baptism of water. The law of Moses is not the New Testament. You can't be preaching tithing, preaching baptism of water, preaching bread and wine, and say you are practicing the New Testament. No, no, no. A million times, no. Listen, because the New Testament ministry will not promote or proclaim condemnation. In the New Testament ministry, you don't find people cursing one another. The pastor said, he said, if you leave church, I will call. And he was saying, no, he was not talking. Also, he said, God has the people that left our church. Their business has crashed. Sir, you are the devil's PA. You are the devil. The devil is very proud of you. You that left your church, your business is not prospering. Some people have died. And that's your joy? That's what the New Testament ministry. And you see some members even boasting that. Nobody offends our group and goes God's free. In fact, the one he told us last, that man, he just came to surface. He spoke against the Gio as he was going, he had accident. Moses is going to not do that one. Lord Gio, hallelujah. The New Testament ministry, we have causes. Or death, it's not the ministration of death. We have erased death from whatever the testament has to present to us. We have erased death. Praise God. Let's see the way the line of view puts it. He helps us out. Hebrews 10, verse 1. Are you learning something? Hebrews 10, 1. We read it together, everybody. One to go. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Very major things. Hallelujah. He says, it was a shadow of good things to come. Talking about the law of Moses. That is, what the law of Moses did was that it was a shadow of good things to come. Shadow does not mean it was typifying things to come. That's a misunderstanding. Because many of the guys say, the law was telling us about things to come. It was showing us type and shadow. What's type and shadow? Shadow of the word skia. Not skra. Skia. Not papa. S-K-I-A. That is darkness. Actually, better put, darkness of error. Darkness of error. That is, the law was putting darkness on the reality of the things to come. Not that it was explaining it in another way. No. It was making it dark. It made the realities of the Christ dark. Not that it foreshadowed Christ. For example, the reality was that Christ was saved from sin by dying on the cross. You know what the Lord did? He gave bread. How is the eating of bread? You know that Jesus has even twisted. Okay, just know that. Okay, this bread is now the body. Let's just use this bread as the body. How is bread and drinking wine, an explanation of someone who died for sin. I mean, don't use it. Don't already explain it. Just think about it. No, just think about it. Like eating bread. You say, someone died for sin. That's what the Lord did. He did not foretell at all. What does not foretell? That's not foreshadowing. He's putting darkness on the realities. He was making it dark to see. I was drinking wine, telling me about sin. Just have to say, okay, this is where we put it. Okay, this bread, it will be broken. What if it was not broken? What if you eat it directly? And you just said, okay, it will be broken. And let's make this wine the blood. Just to explain the law. It could explain some things. Look at what the Bible says. That's it. With those sacrifices that they made year by year, it could not make them perfect. It will stay one. Praise God. Praise God. So, it darkens the reality. Look at, let's read in verse 6. He now gives the law a blow. For they would they have no sins to be offered, because that the worshippers once fought should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again of sins every year. It is not possible by the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Wherefore he cometh. Remember when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not. But in body you have been, in both offering and sacrifice, for sins thou hast no pleasure. God has never had pleasure in those burnt sacrifices that emanated from the covenant Moses gave. The ministry of the letter proposed to them that they had made burnt offerings. Have you saw that in Deuteronomy 12? Deuteronomy 12. That made burnt offerings. That was the letter presented to them. God had no pleasure in it. That is, God was not a part of that covenant. He was not a part. God was not a part. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright, so Hebrews 7. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 11. He gave a perfection by the Levitical priesthood, because of course Moses was a Levite. He perfection by the Levitical priesthood. For under it the people received the law. What for that need was there for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek and after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity of a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, for which no man give attendance to the altar. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similar of Melchizedek, they are right under priest, who is made not after the law of carnal ordinance, but after the power of an endless life. Hallelujah! Praise God! He says, the New Testament ministry is not after the law of carnal ordinance. It's not after the law of Moses. What we have as New Testament ministry is after the power of an endless life. After the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews, I love in our teaching salvation through faith. We dealt with the book of Hebrews well, right? I love the way he put it in Hebrews 6:1. He said, leave the old covenant alone. Hebrews 6:1. Let's say Hebrews 6:1. Like, leave it alone. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of all our faith towards God. All doctrine of baptism, you explain all these ones one by one. We explain repentance from dead works, we explain faith towards God, doctrine. We explain everything, right? We explain everything one by one. You can just get that teaching. Or the laying on of hands. Laying on hands is not New Testament laying on hands. Actually, the way the priest will lay hands on the scapegoat. You read Deuteronomy chapter Leviticus 16. You see very well. The priest will lay hands on the causes of the people on the goat. So it has the doctrine of laying on of hands. Not laying on of hands with this today. That's what I'm saying. So this is the laying in. See, even the Bible says we leave the principle of the doctrine of laying on of it. You see, because you will not read. Praise God. I know you. Alright, so it says we leave it. Hallelujah. Say leave it. Now the doctrine of baptism. Say leave it. What I said. So all of this is not the New Testament. So then we need to reinvestigate the New Testament. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3:6. Alright, so it says, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. So we have eradicated what the New Testament is not. It's not of the law. There's nothing in the New Testament that promotes the law of Moses. Tithing, baptism by water, our communion by the Spirit, not by bread. What else? Sacrifices and burnt offerings. So, the New Testament is not in those things, those sacrifices, no. Doctrine of baptism, no. No. Walking to gain God's righteousness. No. Right? And I say, because I don't lie, because I don't do this, then God will accept me. That's not the New Testament. You see that much more? That's not the New Testament. And I say, not of the letter. Takes it out of the way. But of the Spirit.
See, of the Spirit. Of the Spirit.
So the New Testament is the ministry of the Spirit. The New Testament ministry is the ministry of the Spirit. You find the same narrative in 2 Corinthians 3:6. You find it in Romans 2. Romans 2:27. Let us really look at it. I just remember that now. Romans 2:27. And shall not of circumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge ye, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. For he is not a Jew which is outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he's a Jew. Romans 2:29 now. But he's a Jew which is inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. See, when in the ministry of the Spirit, man does not get the praise. In the law, is what I do that gets me justified. So I get the praise. I get the accolades. But in the ministry of the Spirit, God gets the accolades. Say, it deserves the accolades. I say it now, it deserves the accolades. Yeah, because he did it all. It's the ministry of the Spirit. So he says, in the middle of the Spirit, circumcision is not taking the foreskin of the flesh. No, that's not that. It's now in the heart. It's now in the heart. It's now in the heart. Praise God. You find the same thing in Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 6. Let's have verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth the fruit of unto death. But now we are delivered from the law. Say, I'm delivered from the law. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, the New Testament Spirit, in the New Testament ministry, we were delivered from the law. We are delivered from the law. So that we can now serve in the newness of the Spirit. So, the New Testament ministry is the ministry of the Spirit. Our service is in the Spirit. The things we do are in the Spirit and by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Following the narrative we have in 2 Corinthians 3, we will see, we have seen that the law is the ministration of, right? Ministration of condemnation. What did he call the Spirit? Let's see the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? In verse 9, that says, for the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of what? Righteousness exceeding glory. So he calls the New Testament ministry, the ministration of righteousness. We take it from that next week. The ministration of righteousness. So we call the New Testament ministry, the ministration of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not of condemnation. No condemnation. But the ministration of righteousness. Can we call it the gospel? Okay. Can we call the New Testament ministry the ministry of the Spirit? Can we call it the mission of righteousness? Can we call it the gospel? Yes, we'll be right. Call it the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. And of course, with our response to faith to the message of the gospel comes the indwelling of the Spirit. This is the mission of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And respond with faith to the message of the gospel, we have the indwelling of the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says, you are sealed with the Spirit of promise after you believe. Ephesians 1:13. After you believe, you are sealed with your promise. Ephesians 4:30, the same thing. 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 1:22. You are sealed with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that is the New Testament ministry. That is, it will not be an outward working. It will actually be an outward working of the inworking of the God. That makes sense? That is, man will not be the source of the righteousness. Any ministry that promotes man being the source of his own justification is not the New Testament ministry. If I say you have to be baptized by water before you can now, no, that is not the New Testament ministry. If you are still fornicating, because that's the only sin that many people now know this is. You are still fornicating. You are fornicating. Brother. Sister, you cannot be careful. You cannot. That is what you need to know in the street.
Am I saying you should born again? How can I say that? I'm not mad. I'm just saying, such ordinances, ministration of condemnation, is not the real Christianity. It's not in the gospel. Because the gospel does not condemn. The gospel saves. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the new ministry is not in tithing. It's not in baptism by water, by in what? True water, whatever. It's not. It's not in the Passover or communion. Those things actually darken the reality of where we are. They darken the reality. They make it ununderstandable. They take away the very essence of what I fought. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, then even if we want to agree, listen, let's agree that those things foreshadowed Christ, as it were. Okay, they talk about what will happen. They make baptism talk about the way the heart will be washed. Let's agree that we are happy. What if that is it? I remember in the ministration I had some years ago, that your girlfriend traveled abroad. Okay, why? Traveled abroad. And then you send emails, you send letters, you send pictures to each other. I miss you, babe. Honey, sweetie, I love you, I love you. You love me, you love me. What's happening then over in the UK? And then you send mails. You do Snapchat and all. And then when your friend comes over, I say, have you met my wife? No. Then you quickly go to your sister. Yes, she. My beautiful princess. My lonely. My sugar in my tea. Cockroach in my cupboard. What else is in your life? The highs in my socket. Okay? And the rally in my prayer. Alright. So I'm not showing your friend. Then your wife comes back the next month. And she's at home. And your friend comes again. And your friend says, how's your wife? I can still go to the system. And he said, something is wrong already. Huh? I said, see my wife. And she's dead. Sitting on the chair. See my wife. The cockroach in my butt. When the reality comes, you let go of the shadow. Is that clear? She's around now. Stop kissing the pictures. She's there, kiss her. Stop hugging the picture. Stop telling the WhatsApp. Who is a wife and husband and sister through WhatsApp and they have said each other? Stop telling the WhatsApp. She's there beside you. So even if you assume that those realities, though the law foreshadow, I think it's that time we let it go. The reality is here. Hallelujah. Paul says the bodies of Christ. Says the bodies of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have moved on. Christ is here. We have moved on. So we take away the pictures. We name Christ in and by the Spirit. Not by the works of the law. Not by works of the flesh. Not by the things we are commanded not to and do not taste, not touch not. We will learn Christ by that. We learn him in the Spirit and by the Spirit. We learn him in the gospel. We learn Christ in his word. We learn him in his word. So what we have now is the ministration of righteousness. The veil is taken away. Say the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. Then say prayer. That's what it is. It's taken away. So what we have now is the ministration of righteousness and clarity. Clarity, no more shadows. Nobody is representing this, this is representing this. If this now represents this, then Jesus will now die. No. We have clarity. What we have as the mission of the New Testament is moral condemnation. The man in Christ has moved on. He will never be condemned anymore. Hallelujah. No condemnation. So nobody should practice the New Testament ministry and practice condemnation. No, there's no condemnation. It says, if any man be in Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Jesus, Romans 8:1. Because they walk in the flesh, but not in the spirit. Hallelujah. That's their reality. They are not in the flesh. So no condemnation is the New Testament ministry.